This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
You're listening to the latest edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrana.
Spiritual conversation stirs up a fervency of your heart spiritually. I absolutely love being around certain brothers and sisters in Christ because of what they do to me. When we get together and we talk about the things of God, we talk about Christ, we talk about the Bible, man, I'm blessed. I'm renewed. My fervency goes up. My passion, my zeal for God, my willingness to stay pure and to live right and to live above reproach, and all of that gets stoked.
You know the difference between a conversation that drains you and one that fills you up? There are those moments with the right people where you start talking about God, about what He's doing, about His Word, and something shifts. You don't even realize it at first, but your heart starts to come alive again. Your passion gets stronger. Today, Pastor Bo reminds you that spiritual conversations don't just encourage you. They reignite something inside you that the world is constantly trying to wear down. Now here's Pastor Bo as he continues his message, Spiritual Conversation.
The initial revivals of Nehemiah, the initial revivals of Ezra, reinstating the law and all of that awesome stuff when you read in the book of Ezra and you read the book of Nehemiah, all of that's over. 100 years passed. That's all worn off. It feels almost like today. Now, I know we're nowhere in the same place of redemptive history today where they were then, because in the future for them, John the Baptist is going to come and he's going to start pointing to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And so that's, you know, we're on the other side of that. Praise God. We're not in that. We're in a different time. But there is some association with how the people had gotten so hard. The society had gotten so hard toward God and toward His law. And they were now sort of destitute, like sort of given up, and they were upset. They were like, and they didn't see the relevance of their Jewish past because they were sitting in still a despondent state. They didn't have any fresh word from God. There wasn't anything happening in their lives during that time, but it was also because they had rebelled again. They were also reaping the benefits of having gone through another cycle of their relationship with God, where they turned on the Lord by doing some things that were in direct disobedience to what He said not to do, and they chose to do it. And so they're also, that's why they're where they are. And so they're now kind of got their finger starting to come back around toward God. And so that's sort of the vibe of the society during that time. And when you get to verse 16 of Malachi 3, it's a major transition. So what I just all shared with you is kind of like chapter 3 leading up to verse 16. But in 16, it's a major transition. You see insight into the heart and the behavior of the of sort of what we might call the remnant, that there was still within that larger society a hard-heartedness towards God, a pride and an arrogance toward God by way of the society. There was this small group of people, though, that did something. They still had spiritual conversation among themselves habitually. So when they got together in a hard, spiritually hard culture and a spiritually hard society, the habit was for them to have spiritual conversation, not political per se, not financial per se, not preferences or anything like that, or complaining, or no, they would get together. And it says in verse 16, then those who feared the Lord, it says they spoke with one another. Now I brought my King James up here and it says, it's just a little difference of a translation. It says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Just wanted you to bring that. I wanted to bring that out because that's what I'm trying to say is the spiritual conversation that they were having during this time, it was a habit for them to have it. a habit for them to have it. They did it often. They did it often. Very concerning for me, for us as disciples in our church, of Trinity Church, and of our small groups, when we get together, that we don't talk about the Lord. Right? Like, that just doesn't make sense to me. Like, Bo, what? No, just doesn't make sense to me. Like, I'm a Christian. I'm in Christ. You're a Christian if you're in Christ. When we get together, what's in common? Yeah. Who's everything to us? Yeah, who's directing us? Who do we need? Who are we appealing to and looking to? And right, it's him, right? So like when we get together, who should we be talking about? Yeah, Christ, it would be very natural. It'd be very natural that when we get together as brothers and sisters, our habit is to have spiritual conversation. So just be a habit of ours. Okay, that's the third one. Again, these are just general references throughout the Bible of spiritual conversation. Okay, that's what these are today. Here's the fourth one. We've said it a lot already, but it's in Luke's gospel, and it's that Christ is the topic of spiritual conversation. But I just want you to see an example of it. Maybe we'll move through these next one or two kind of quick. Look at this in Luke 24, verses 13 through 14. You see these two disciples, we call them two disciples on the road to Emmaus. This is after Jesus was resurrected. We see conversation between Jesus and these two disciples. Jesus just shows up as these two gentlemen are leaving Jerusalem and they're walking to Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem to the north. And the Lord appears to them. And when he appears to them, he expounds the scriptures to them. They have just this incredible time with the resurrected Christ. But I just want you to see verses 13 and 14 because notice how they respond. It says, that very day, two of them, that is these two disciples, were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were what? Do you see the T word? So they're talking, right? They're talking with each other, though, it says, about all these things that had happened. And that had to do with this Jesus of Nazareth, who died, rose, all the news at that point that was spreading like fire about how Christ, there was an empty tomb. He had been put in this tomb and this stone rolled away and the angels and the disciples. And so all this is spreading now that Jesus is resurrected from the dead. And so that's what they're talking about. That's what I wanted to ask you this morning. What effect has the resurrected Christ had on you so that then there would be a sort of natural leading or disposition to converse about him? Because he is now your everything. Like, he rose from the dead. I'm basing my entire future upon what happened to him. So it's very easy for me to talk about him. He's the topic of my conversation. He is the topic of my conversation. It's a line I've been meditating on lately. It's just the way it's landed in my mind over the last few weeks. It's just kind of bobbling around in there still. I like this term. Have you considered Christ? It works. I don't know. You guys can come up with your own, ways to ask, to take what is real in your life. Christ is the topic for you, but then how to get that to be the topic of the conversation? How do you get him to be the topic of a conversation that you're going to have with someone? I think that's just one of many ways you could say something like that. Well, have you considered Jesus? And it'll just be insightful, the response, because then you're probably going to, it'll open up other things, other opportunities. But Jesus Christ is the topic of a truly defined, to be faithful to the definition of a spiritual conversation. It has Jesus Christ as its topic. So that's not just spiritual conversation. I am not interested in spiritual conversations. You know what I mean? We could talk about Wiccans. We could talk about Mormons. We could talk about Islam. We could talk about... I want to talk about Jesus. I want to talk about Jesus Christ. You talk about Jesus, it pulls everything down into its place. Everything. The entire universe gets pulled down into place. Focused, razor sharp, when you just focus on Jesus. You know, they used to say to us, it still works today, it's great. How do you know the truth from the false? So like when they would print money, how do you know when money is a counterfeit to the real? Do you keep studying all the counterfeits to understand all the criminals out there and their new strategy and their new counterfeit and all that? Do you keep studying all that? Or do you just know the real one real well? You know the real one real well. That is how you then deal with all the counterfeits that are out there. Friends, listen to me. Church, listen to me. The more you know Jesus, study Jesus, worship Jesus, love Jesus, follow Jesus, you will not have a problem in the world talking to anyone, wherever they're coming from, about Jesus. At all. At all. Okay, I think enough on that one. I just wanted you to see those two. Now, let's see, very nearby, same chapter, actually. Look over to verse, where do I want you to go to here? Verse 32. This is number 5. Spiritual conversation tends to religious fervency. Now, let me explain that, because a lot of us freak out when we see the R word. I don't mean religious like you have to be religious in order to be saved. I mean religious in a good way, like in a true way, as far as how that can be a good thing. In other words, a worshiper, a person who loves God, worships God, a person who is pious, they're bringing their life under the truth of Scripture, and they're seeking to obey the Lord, follow Him, sacrificial, a worshiper, just in their heart. That's what I mean when I say tends to religious fervency. So spiritual conversation will do this. Let me read the verse, and then we'll understand it more together. Verse 32 of Luke 24 says, they said to each other, so Jesus Christ was with them, walking with those two disciples, that's still who we're talking about, and then this crazy thing happens, he vanishes away. It's after they have communion, the breaking of the bread, and then he just vanishes from their eyes. I mean, it would just be wild, wouldn't it, if we were there? That's just crazy. Vanishes from their sight, and then verse 32 says, they said to each other, did not, do you see this? They said to each other, did not our hearts, plural, burn within us while he what? And man, I could preach about that. So Jesus did some talking. You know what I mean? Like Jesus talked to them. Jesus talked to them. They heard from him. They had a spiritual conversation. And it concerned himself, actually. He showed them everywhere where he was throughout the Old Testament. That would have been the best teaching you've ever heard, to have Jesus Christ exposit himself in the Bible. Yes, please. I would have loved to have heard that. I wish we had that. But what we have is the result. We've got two disciples with burning hearts as a result of having had Jesus spend time talking to them. Now, the net effect can be the same in your heart every single day. Every single day, off the pages of Scripture and in conversation with each other. Spiritual conversation stirs up a fervency of your heart spiritually. I absolutely love being around certain brothers and sisters in Christ because of what they do to me. When we get together and we talk about the things of God, we talk about Christ, we talk about the Bible, man, I'm blessed. I'm renewed. My fervency goes up. My passion, my zeal for God, my willingness to stay pure and to live right and to live above reproach, and all of that gets stoked. Anybody have any Christian friends? Do you know what I mean? Or is it something that we'd say, hey, I think we should have a little bit more spiritual conversations? Yeah, there is the part of this now that we're looking at is what happens when believers do it with each other, not just when believers are seeking to have spiritual conversations with the world, the lost, but even just with each other. It stirs up our own faith. Stirs up our own love for the Lord, our zeal to obey Him, to live for Him, stirs that up. I love that. Again, a few of us guys were getting together all summer long on that small group, and I experienced that just by hanging around with them. We finish up that 1-hour Bible study together, and there's just a little bit more of a renewal there to live for God today. It's not that I wouldn't have, but it just stirs it up. It just stirs up the fervency. And so that's what spiritual conversation does. So I'm pretty passionate about this. Obviously, you can tell, I think. But it's because I can see its relevance for reaching the world today. And so it's, you know, it's judgment begins in the house of the Lord. It's got to start at home first. You know, so that's why I wanted to give you all these general references, because when I shared this with my small group, the guys were like, this could be a seminar. This could be an entire series. You know, because once you get under the hood of each one of these things, you got all kinds of stuff that needs to be applied. The implications are vast. The applications are far-reaching. And I'm just giving you the general references in the Bible of spiritual conversation, but then I'm trusting the Spirit of God to spread it all out for you as you go to live it out from here. But let's read that verse one more time. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened to us the scriptures? That's what spiritual conversation will do. It will stir up fervency, spiritual fervency in your heart. So have those conversations. Get together. Reach out to that person who blesses you when you speak to them about the Lord. Cultivate that relationship. Look, every day people are dying, living, being born, all this kind of thing. All I'm trying to say, James says it this way, life's a vapor. It's a mist. It's here, and listen to me, and then it's gone. Whoever right now in your life is someone who stirs up that fervency in you to live for the Lord, pour gasoline all over that relationship. Stir it up. Keep it alive. Invest in it. Spend time together. There's a really good chance those are the only ones you're going to have that hit you like that in the faith, and you want to steward those really well. Why? Just for your own blessing? No, although that's significant. It's also because of the net effect after just being in biblical relationship with another Christian, what it then enables you to do for the Lord outside of that conversation, outside of that relationship. It further enhances your purpose for why you're here. You need that person. That person needs you. And the Lord is just using both of you to accomplish his will on this planet. It's necessary that we see this because obviously right now, if you and I just get down on the ground and we talk nitty gritty and we talk discipleship in the context that we're in, it's very hard to talk to people today. Very difficult to have spiritual conversation with folks. And I believe when we study it like this, we just look at Paul and then we go throughout the Bible and look, it's got to come from us. So our ability to have these conversations just needs to develop. It just needs to grow. It needs to be something that we step out in faith in and then talk about in our own small group, you know, how that went. And you could pray for me with this because I tried to say this to my loved one over here and, whew, you know, and but I'm trying to be faithful to God. I want to honor his word. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful. Yeah, I want to hear that. Don't you want to hear that? Yeah, me too. So it starts at home, as we looked in Deuteronomy, and it works its way all the way through life, the ebb and flow of all of it. Okay, let's see. I think I have one more. Here's the sixth one. Spiritual thoughts. So now I'm adjusting it just a little bit to add another element. Spiritual thoughts. So not only spiritual conversation, but I want to add now thoughts to the subject. Spiritual thoughts are expressed, we see something in the Bible, in music as well. This is just, well, let's read it. Ephesians chapter 5, it's in verse 19. Paul says to this church, addressing one another. So there we go again, speaking to one another. Ephesians 5, 19, speaking to one another, addressing one another in, Dory, why are you always singing at me? You know, kind of thing. Like, you always have a song on your heart. You always have a praise sort of on your lips. That's what it is to be in the family of God. It's that we have this worship, this praise that's always sort of welling up. And so Paul says it like this, addressing one another in the Psalms, and that would have been the Psalms in the Old Testament, the Psalms. They would have been using the Psalms. And they had certain hymns, just like we do today, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So just spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your what? With your heart. So I'm just wanting to sort of, as the final general reference to this topic this morning, give us a little bit of an expanded thinking that it's not just in the conversation with words where there are spiritual thoughts or spiritual ends that get developed. It is also through this wonderful gift, this medium that God has given us in music. So, Bo, like, so let's, you know, my car is filled with praise. My car is filled with praise. My kids are in my car. We're praising. We're worshiping. Our house, and I'm not just using myself as an example. I know many of you are like this. I'm just trying to give us, open that up and realize that music is powerful. So music is a way to cultivate spiritual thoughts in other people's minds and hearts. You can use music. I couldn't believe yesterday we took Mackenzie out for her 16th birthday. Sherilyn and I did. It's very sweet. Gave her a promise ring, bless the Lord. And the music in Carrabba's would go from like Frank Sinatra to Forrest Frank. That Christian rapper, you know, a lot of you guys know. Anyways, all I'm just trying to say is we were like, that was weird. You know, we were like Frank Sinatra in here, and then Forrest Frank was on the, but, you know, we recognized it, you know, and we were like, yeah, you know, jamming out. And music is just, I thought it was wonderful that music was even a part of their playlist. I don't know how that happened, but you had Christian music coming through secular, you know, companies. But yeah, I thought that was cool. But anyways, all I'm just trying to say is, I want you just, you know, as a part of this teaching, I want to add to the end of it, this reality, this divine reality. Music is powerful. It's already on our hearts to sing, to praise. Let's recognize its ability to influence even other people. So your home, if your home is a worshipful home, is your home a place of praise and of worship of Jesus Christ? Music is one solid way to get you there. It's just by turning on good praise music, turning on good worship music, it will change just the atmosphere of your home. And you can just sense, man, the Spirit of God is here comforting us, affirming up to us the Word of God that we've maybe recently studied, or it moves our heart to pray now in a particular way. These are wonderful things, and music is a wonderful gift. So I just want to encourage you with this one. Spiritual thoughts, also what's happening when you're hearing that music is being expressed in the music. The spiritual thoughts are being expressed. And so it just gives you a chance to sort of even join in with that and express those thoughts. That's what they did with the Psalms. David is a gift. All those Psalms written like that, they come out of high points and low points of his life. And that's why we resonate with them, because that's life. And David was able to exalt the Lord up and down and all of that. And so it helps us articulate what our heart wants to say in our relationship with God, but we lack sometimes the vernacular. And so the Psalms help us get there. Just wanted you to see that last one.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrena. We're so glad you've been with us. Perhaps some of the ideas you've heard today are a new concept. On the other hand, you might be well familiar with some of the thoughts shared. Whatever the case may be, we trust and believe that there are always new things to learn from what God wants to teach us. Pastor Bo will be back with more in our next edition. But before we go for today, we'd like to share a little more about who we are. Truth That Transforms comes to you from Trinity Church of Melbourne, located in Melbourne, Florida. To learn more about what we believe and to join us in person, here's our website, trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. We offer services on Sundays at 10 a.m. We also offer a midweek service for the youth on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Come with a heart to grow, being open to how the Lord is leading, and there will be much to gain. Again, our website is trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. If you'd like to send us an email for any reason, our email is info@mytrinitychurch.life. for a personal touch, you can also call us at 321-676-8992. One more time, that number is 321-676-8992. We're so glad you took the time to connect today. Pastor Bo will return next time as he continues to impart some important messages from God and His Word here on Truth That Transforms.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus and to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise and to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
I'm so glad I've learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend.
You will know God is showing up to turn things around when he shows up in a way you can't explain.
Dr. Tony Evans says God is way too powerful to be predictable.
He will invade.